Hey, Potters! Welcome to episode 165 of Cospod Podcast for all things cosplay. Why are you laughing at me?
Because I love that introduction, and it's going to be a load of fun squishing that at the year review.
I will figure out different ways of doing this. I feel like such a radio broadcaster when I say this.
You kind of are. It's a podcast.
It's the radio broadcaster like you'd hear on local music stations as opposed to something like NPR, where we would say thank you for listening to us.
We are not calm enough for NPR.
I'm not bashing NPR whatsoever. I am an NPR listener. And,
same.
And, you know, I support my local radio station, my local public radio station. They just have a different way of talking.
It's very soothing and calm, and it's very like uber professional in kind of a creepy way, but in a good creepy way.
It's like Bob Ross.
Yes, it's very Bob Ross-like, which is appropriate for NPR.
But anyways, back to cosplay.
Yay.
So we will start out the way we always do with cosplay updates. And this is one of the few times where I'm going to claim privilege for a moment and go first.
Yeah, go for it, man.
Because this right here is my progress.
That's a lot of fabric.
This is a lot of fabric. Yay. I'm actually in progress of cutting out the pattern pieces, which I've actually, you know, you can't really see the line very well. There, now you can see it. I have traced on the pattern. These pieces are for my underdress. So I have a bunch of crepe that I pilfered off of one of my Renaissance dresses that I took apart. The blue fabric went towards my Sky Sorceress, which is sitting in the other room. The underdress, the chemise that went to it, I am now disassembling and using for the underdress on my Zelda. And unfortunately, there is not enough fabric in the original chemise for me to use for this dress because the dress is voluminous because video games. So luckily, I did buy a whole bunch of spare fabric. And this is why, kids, it's very important that you always buy extra fabric, not just the exact amount that you think you need, because you have to account for screw-ups and, you know, sometimes needing spare fabric for spare parts or self-lining, things like that. So always buy extra. And so I'm very happy that I bought extra. I ended up buying, I think, 2 full yards extra, which is very, very helpful. This dress will not be lined. There's not really a reason for it because the overdress is going to sit on top of it and it's going to cover up anything that I need, and I'll have a slip on and such underneath. So shouldn't be in, you know, any worries about flashing people. Unless I have a Marilyn Monroe moment, and that's a different thing entirely. So basically I've spent all of my time, which let me say that crepe is one of the most horrible things to trace on because it loves to move everywhere. Even when it's clamped down, I can hold it down with my hands and it still moves. I can hold it down with clamps and it still moves. And I know it's going to move under my sewing machine, which means I'm going to have to baste the dress as well.
Yeah, you are.
I did finally finish hand embroidering the pearls and the lace onto my overdress, which is sitting in the other room. So all I have to do with that one is just stitch up the back and add the zipper, and that one's done. Once it stops raining, which this is North Texas, this is spring, it's going to be raining for the next
2 months
on and off. When it stops being humid outside, I can actually go spray paint my armor. Unfortunately, today was another one of those severe weather days when there were tornadoes and everything around. It's like, well, I can't go outside. Not to mention, if I did go outside, the wind is blowing so hard that my armor would actually fall off into the apartment below me. So, fabric indoors. That has pretty much been my project for the time being. I'm getting to the point with Zelda that I'm starting to kind of think ahead to my next cosplay.
Hey.
In a very general, casual sort of sense. I don't want to, like, this is what I'm going to be working on. Because a lot of it sometimes you'll find is just kind of feeling. What do I feel like working on? What is something I won't get bored with? And it will probably end up being Fire Emblem Heroes Lynn. Probably. It's going to be either that or Soraka, I'm guessing. Especially because we're getting towards summer, and I'm going to need a summer-appropriate cosplay. I'm done.
Summer-appropriate? I don't know what you're talking about.
No sleeves. And, like, one layer. Not two, not three or four, not five. One.
It's like the one thing I'm really glad with my Amidala, my second dress, was that it was sleeveless and kind of backless. It felt amazing to wear that outside
I
because it
mean,
was super humid. I didn't feel it.
Sailor Scout uniforms, great to wear in the summer. No sleeves, just a bodysuit that's basically swimsuit shaped, so it doesn't even have leggings on it. You have a nice floofy
Leotard.
skirt.
Yeah.
Exactly. Those are
Leo.
fantastic to wear. Or like from Swim, the anime series. There are lots of things that are great to wear in the summer in Texas. Ball gowns are not one of them.
I would only do one of those if I was indoors the entire time and I was 100% positive that the AC would be on full blast. Like, that would be the only exception.
And that it's actually working full blast because we've been
Yes.
at AECON for a couple of years when the AC was not working very well
And A Fest.
at the Sheridan, which used to be the Adams Mark. And it was the AC was going, but it was not cooling anybody off. It happens a lot in Texas, which is unfortunate.
Joy of Texas. Just the South in general when the AC is not working. Because, man, if you think it's bad here, try going to Dragon Con and the AC is down in the hotels. Oh my God.
Or
It
even
is.
down at
Oh,
Matsuri
it's
in Houston.
sweltering.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Speaking of which, interestingly, Matsuri next year in June.
I think they're either going to be butting up the week of or the week after
Akon.
Akon, which is a bad move. Like DCC did it and they knew that that was a bad idea. So now they've kind of tucked themselves to end of March, early April, which is good for them. That's a smart move. That's just a bad call. Bad
Well,
call.
and sometimes you kind of got to take the convention center when you can get it, for one. But two, I mean, as an attendee, I can understand if I have, two or three conventions that are all within a week of each other and my funds are not unlimited, unfortunately, I have to choose one to go to or I end up just day tripping at the cons, in which case there's a lot more travel and things involved. So I can understand, like as an attendee, I wouldn't want my conventions being back to back to back to back. That sucks.
It sucks a lot, and I've done it before. I don't ever want to do it ever again. And it's not just from like a fun standpoint, because I had the funds to do it. I mean, I planned out so I could cover it. It's mostly just pure exhaustion, because by the time I got to the third convention, I was just dead tired and couldn't really enjoy it for what it was.
There's a lot of travel involved too.
God, yeah.
Back and forth, back and forth.
I went to three different cities for those.
I mean, even for those who day tripped last year when Fan Expo was up against Akon, basically it meant you couldn't stay in the hotel because you were going back and forth between the conventions. It also meant you paid more per day for a ticket because, of course, conventions will discount you a little bit when you buy the 3 or 4 day tickets, and they increase it because they're trying to disincentivize you from doing the day tripping thing.
Well,
But
too bad, Fan Expo. I day tripped it this year. Ha ha.
I know a lot of people that did. And speaking of Fan Expo, unless you've got cosplay updates, we can move right into that.
I have one cosplay update. Guess what it is? It's probably going to shock you because it's more
More
beading.
beading!
This is all I've been doing. I think it's because I'm at the point where I have so little left that I'm just like, I'm in power beading mode. Like, I just did this strip earlier, like, legit, like maybe about an hour ago, I did most of this. So I've just been in power bead all the things mode, and once I get this done, I can immediately jump into embroidering of the birds. So yeah, this is all I've been doing. That's it. And then I went to Fan Expo.
Things always go faster when you're at the end of them. Like weekends, time goes
Yes.
faster when you're at the end of the weekend. Your car gas tank, it goes down faster when you get towards the end of your fuel tank. Everything goes faster when you get towards the end.
And you just hit that point where you're like, I'm almost there. Just get it done. Let's just do this. I need to find something new to watch though, because I've kind of exhausted everything on YouTube and all the things I wanted to watch on Netflix. So I'm kind of at the bottom of the barrel of what do I put on in the background to keep me entertained while I bead? Because the silence is not cutting it for me. So hey, if you have suggestions for me, please email them at podcast@causepod.org because I need suggestions badly.
You can also send them in on all of our social media.
Early call out. So yeah, that's really all that I have. So I guess we'll just run into a fan expo review.
Sounds good.
All right, cool. So I'm gonna do this so you don't have to look at my ugly mug the whole time. There we go. Share. Aha, guess what? So we're gonna roll through a bunch of the cosplay photos I took while I was there. So I decided to day trip it there on Saturday just for the lulz. My brother wanted to go. He's never been before. So I was like, okay, why not? It's been a few years since I've been. Could be interesting, could be fun.
Really
And I
quick
will.
interjection, Fan Expo is the local Dallas Con.
Yeah. So Fan Expo is owns a couple of different conventions around the country. The home base is in Canada. So that's their main convention. They've bought up a couple of other ones around the country. So I don't know where the other locations are, but there you have it. So that's basically our comic convention, our big one in the area. And it was fun. It was a little expensive, but I mean, at this point, if you're going to Fan Expo, you kind of know going into it that you're going to be dropping money, guaranteed. Just for the Saturday badge, it was $60. And there really wasn't any savings if you bought it online because it was $50 for pre-reg with a $5.75 convenience fee, quote unquote. And I was like, well, why pay the convenience fee? Just I'll pay $60 at the door. Kind of glad that we did because we got our passes within seconds, whereas everybody else was standing in line for a good 40 minutes.
Part of it's just a processing fee since they outsource the online processing.
I'm sure if we were doing the full weekend, yeah, then we would have saved money, absolutely. But since for a day trip, it was like, eh, we don't need to do that. It's fine. So some things that they did differently this year, definitely enforced the bag checking. That was a big thing. And I know that upset some people. Honestly, I didn't see it as a big deal. I've gotten so accustomed to bag checks at conventions that I'm just like, okay, it's normal, whatever. Like I already knew as we were walking into the line to pull my bag off my shoulder, open it up, get ready to go. So it made the process faster for everybody. And really, somebody said that they were having like a no outside food or drink rule. I brought in my water and a granola bar. They didn't stop me. So I don't know if it was just maybe lax enforcement or what. I mean, there was food all over the place, both inside the expo hall and outside the expo hall. So I don't know if there was really a good way for them to monitor it without it causing trouble. So I also didn't see any trash cans nearby where they could take out food and throw it away. So it was like, I don't know what they were going to do at that point. So it wasn't really a big deal. The setup this year was kind of weird. They took away a good chunk of the expo floor to use as the badge and badge pickup, as well as the bag check area. It was just really oddly done. And it's one of those where when you first walk in, you're like, why is it set up like this? It felt really inconvenient. But once you made your way through the bag check, got your badge, and went into the expo hall, it was a nice little kind of like slinky snake move. It made a lot of sense when you got to that point, but just getting up to that point, you were like, this is strange.
Was this at Kay Bailey?
Yes, this was at Kay Bailey. So it's a very large
Kay
convention
Bailey
center.
is the largest convention center in the Dallas area proper.
Yeah, in DFW in just oh, in general. I think
Yeah,
it's bigger than the Fort Worth one.
it will hold a lot of people. Like, graduations are held here.
Yeah, they do full-blown car shows here. And I mean like ridiculous car shows here, nice car shows. So it's got the space and then some. So the fact that they restricted everything to the one expo hall was just kind of like, well, this is floor space you could have used for your vendors or for your signing areas that desperately needed the space. Why did you do that? So I think it was mostly done for security purposes. So it was easier on the staff to see exactly who was coming in, who was coming out, because they also roped off the exit area. There was only one way to exit, and everyone had to funnel through that one exit. It was a fire hazard and then some. It was absolutely ridiculous. And once you left the exit, you had to walk your way all around before you go back in. You have to go through the bag check area and through the ticket pickup and do the snake move all over again. It was also set up in such a way that once you got to the expo hall, you really didn't want to leave. You kind of just sat there and ate whatever food you were given. It was not the smartest setup. And I
Photographer
think,
taking picture of the photographer.
yes, I did that a lot because I was dressed up in my April O'Neil costume. So my friend had a good idea. She was like, "Why don't you take photos of the people taking photos of you?" And I was like, "That's a great idea. I needed to do that." So I showed it to this guy after I took it, and I was like, "This is perfect." And he's like, "Oh, please post that." It made sense. But even though it was kind of weird with how they did that setup, the management of the cosplay guest area, the photo areas, as well as where they placed the 501st and the Rebel Legion and then the Mercs, was really smart. Very well done, very well thought out, lots of space, plenty of areas where people could walk and do their thing. They had really nice backdrops too, so cosplayers could kind of come in and do their own thing. Wonder if I'm at close to one of those photos. Nope, not yet. You'll see one of them in a little bit with a bunch of Fallout characters. But they did a good job in that area. It was really smart, very well laid out. When it came to the expo hall itself, where you could go for buying stuff, way more cramped than usual. The lanes were much, much smaller. They just kind of crammed everything in there. So Saturday, it was like walking through a package of sardines. It was a tight, tight fit.
Did they just have more vendors than normal, or was it because they shut off part of the convention center and stuffed it into a hall?
It's the latter. That's exactly what it is. Yeah, I don't think it was any more vendors than normal. It didn't feel like it for sure. What they also did was they took one side of the convention center and turned it into a panel area. I don't even know how you got to this panel area. It was really weird. And it was like a VIP area too, where they had like a little red carpet room. I know. I was like, okay, you have plenty of space outside of the expo hall. Why are you doing it in here? Whatever. I rolled with it. It was just really strange. And the other unfortunate thing was because those extra spaces were taken up by the badge pickup and the panel room, the signing areas were ridiculously tiny. They did not think those through whatsoever. I mean, you have Ben Affleck making his very first convention, appearance for signing stuff, as well as Jeff Goldblum. And you did not prepare for the long lines. What is wrong with you people? It was just a nightmare. If you tried to go down that section, you were not going to get out. It was easily a 30-minute walk to go from one end of the row to the other. And we're talking about maybe 900 feet. I mean, it wasn't like a big area. I don't even think, I think 900 feet is being way too generous. It's probably like 400 feet. I don't know how long it was because it was like the long walk of doom. I couldn't comprehend this. It was a disaster. It was the stupidest idea ever. And again, I'm sure they did it because they thought it would be better for line management. It might be, easier for them to maintain security and all this. I was just like, oh, you guys are just being dumb in how you're handling this again. Shocking. But I think overall, I mean, we kind of enjoyed ourselves. We knew going into it what to expect out of it. We were there to spend money. We were there to hang out with friends. We were there to maybe see a celebrity if we got lucky, though with the long ass lines, that did not happen, and that's okay. That's totally fine. And funny enough, we ran into Pheromone. And as we were talking about this, we were like, you know what? Conventions pretty much are the same. Once you've been to enough of them, you already know exactly what you're going to get when you walk into one. Yeah, anime conventions have their own flavors. So do comic book conventions, so do video game conventions. So it was like, you come to comic book cons to buy stuff, to buy more stuff, to get a couple of autographs, maybe get a photo with a celebrity that you really like, and to meet new people and hang out. And that's basically what you're paying for with the experience. So I knew going into it exactly what was going to happen. I will say I was really surprised because this has never been a thing that I've noticed with Fan Expo before. They had a really nice artist alley because they usually don't have an artist alley. It's usually, standard vendors, and then you have your comic book artists, and that's it. But they had artisans who did like wood carvings and glass engravings and earrings and jewelry and just a bunch of stuff. And I was really floored by that. We managed to find a couple really neat art pieces, and I'm actually thinking about redecorating my back wall with some of those pieces because they were just phenomenal. I was like, this is really cool. Why is this at Fan Expo? This is new to me. All right, then. So yeah, I think that's pretty much the best summary of Fan Expo. I mean, it's there. I mean, if there was a big celebrity that I really wanted to see, I would have waited until Sunday morning to have gone and avoided all the traffic and all the headaches and all the walking. Because of course, if you're not there at like 7 a.m. Saturday morning, you're not getting close parking. You're going to be like 8 blocks away. However, I only had to pay $7 in parking for the whole day. Score! And I mean, yeah, that's pretty much it. I just hung out with friends. We had a good time. We chatted, bought some things, chilled out, took some fun photos, got to see some amazing cosplays. I will say that the cosplay level here just keeps getting better and better every year. I almost kind of wish that there was a space outside of the expo hall where you could see the cosplayers without having to spend the money on the really expensive badge. They do have the cosplay red carpet, but this year they didn't do such a good job with the location of it because they usually put it against this glass window area so you have the natural light coming in. So it's pretty decent for photography. Not always the best, but it's good enough. They pushed it back into the corner so there wasn't a whole lot of natural light and people had to rely on flashes. It was not very pretty. Very, very bad backlighting going on. Here we go. Here's some of the backgrounds. There were so many people with the Fallout group, we couldn't really get all of them to fit in one area, even when we told them squish closer. So I say it's the kind of convention where you know what you're going to get out of it. If there's a celebrity you really want to see, do it Friday or Sunday when it's really dead quiet. So that way you can avoid all the crowds and you don't have to spend $60 on a single day pass because that was really dumb of us. But we wanted to go. He wanted to see it. We did the thing. And I managed to get a cold out of it like I always do. Yay. That's my curse for going to Fan Expo every single time. All right. Let me see if I have... Is it up soon? I don't even know if it's up soon. All right. We're going to zoom through. Ah, widescreen. And then there's Bob Ross. And there's Dragon Age. And then there's more judges. And then there's Belle. And then there's Aquaman. And then here we go. There's pheromones. And more Dragon Age. Okay. I did not go as fast as I thought I was going to go. But yeah, that's pretty much the summary of it. Not bad. Not great. Got my money's worth, I think. Kind of really happy I didn't spend extra money in waiting online all day long for an autograph because that would just have made it less fun. I think I would have punched people at that point because they were packed back.
I really agree that once you've been to, I'd say probably two conventions, that you've seen pretty much everything that you need to see in very general terms of how conventions work. And what you expect to see there and what you expect to do there. And they will be a little bit flavored differently depending on the kind of convention. But the only thing that really changes to an extent is what some of the vendors sell, because there's pretty much the same vendors at every con too, to an extent. There's just a couple specialty vendors that are different. The types of panels that are held. So you'll always have your conventioneering 101 type panels and your nerd type panels and your Q&A type panels. But like at Comic-Con, they'll focus on comics and anime. They'll focus on anime and cosplay and stuff. And then it influences the types of guests that are there, because you'll have obviously the industry related guests for whatever con you're going to. But other than that, I think pretty much the overall outline is really the same. And yeah, even the prices are evening out, honestly.
It's about what you would expect. Yeah, because I mean, even for Fan Expo, they're not really known for their panels. Like, they'll do Q&A celebrity panels. It's about the gist of it. Everything else that goes on during the day, you pretty much ignore because it's boring. They don't have good panel content, unfortunately. You spend the entire time in the expo hall or standing in line to get an autograph. That's pretty much all that you do. But you know going into it that that's what you're spending the money on. So that's what you do. But you
basically
know.
going for the experience as opposed to anything in particular.
Yeah. And I mean, and it was fun. Got to meet some new people. I did enjoy dressing up for the day because it's been a while since I've cosplayed. It was cold, ridiculously cold. It was 37 degrees outside. Texas, it's April. Come on now. Probably why I've been sick. That probably didn't help going from 80 to 37. Hey.
All right. Shall we go ahead and move on to our news
Yeah.
and or story?
And/or story. Yeah, th I thought it was an interesting story.
It's both news and kind of a discussion point.
Yeah, definitely a good discussion topic.
So it looks like this is from geek.com, which is basically just a repository for all things geeky. And what they discussed in the article is that there is a new service starting up called Cosplay Agency, and they are basically an agent service. What it does is it allows cosplayers, right now mostly based in Japan, or people who will be moving to Japan, but basically it's in Japan, to register profiles on the service as effectively cosplayers for hire, so that you can put down things like how fluent you are in English. Are you willing to travel for your job? What sorts of characters do you cosplay? Your availability, that sort of thing. And so you register your profile. It's actually quite a bit like Tinder, oddly enough. But basically, it's a database where prospectors who need cosplayers for events, what used to be called booth babes in a lot of places, will go and they will hire cosplayers from this site. So it I'm not sure how much of a need there is for this right now.
Yeah, it's kind of got its pros and cons. I think the idea of having a talent agency or a PR agency that focuses on cosplay, it's kind of surprising that one hasn't cropped up sooner. And we've actually talked to a PR agency once before with a previous cosplayer who tried to get to be a guest on our show. And it was really interesting having to work through the PR and not through the cosplayer directly. But if you've gotten to the point of where you're so busy having to manage your persona as well as your social media life, having to do your guest appearances, whatever else that you're doing, maybe you have a product line in the works. You kind of need that agency to help act as your intermediary as well as your representation so you can stay to a set schedule and keep your appearances up and make sure that you're the same person all the way through. 'Cause it's a lot of stuff for one person to manage. You need a personal assistant or a PR firm to handle it for you. It's not a bad idea. I'm just kind of surprised it hasn't started sooner, given how popular cosplay has been over the past couple of years.
They've actually, I remember we did a news story on another one, I want to say about 2 months ago, that I believe was also based in Japan. And it did the same sort of thing, where basically people register online. Although with that one, I think that it was more of an in-person kind of service event as opposed to
Right.
you going online and registering for this. As with all things online, I would hope that they have a way of making sure these are real people and that they really
Right.
look like the photos they are posting, because as we all know, everything on the internet is true.
Photoshop for the win.
Exactly. And I would also kind of wonder if they have an age limit.
Yeah, I wonder that too. I wonder if you need to be an adult or if this is almost like kind of like a modeling agency where you can get the younger kids, like the 12 to 17s, to sign up as well. And it's just weird how it's set up that you can register a profile so easily because most talent agencies require, like, they have a set number of people on their roster that they work through. They don't have a free for all. So it's interesting and weird. I think it needs some refinement.
And it looks like the service is actually called Duango. And it's by the same people, Nico Nico, that
Oh.
do the World Cosplay Summit.
Yeah, they
So
do a lot of fun stuff.
clearly they have some experience working with, cosplayers and cosplay competition type things. And, you know, cosplayers are becoming more and more ubiquitous at things like launch parties. Not so much the whole booth babe thing anymore. That's basically become a thing of a past. But whenever gaming companies have launches, or whenever developers have booths at conventions like PAX, where it's not so much a booth babe as it is like sometimes even their representatives are the cosplayers. It's becoming a lot more common to see these. I mean, heck, Vulpen even like sends props to the convention so that they can display them, the developers, on site. So you have a physical thing and go, look, it's a thing from the game that we just made.
Yeah, TGS is notoriously big with having cosplayers act as their go-to for booths. And this is everything from video games to little stuffed animals to just regular toys. I mean, it's anything goes there. So it's definitely a growing thing.
And I'm all for it. You know, if you want to hire cosplayers for it, you do that. It helps bring it to life in a way. Just, I'm not sure if there's much of a need yet. And I also would want to know, is this a service that you pay for?
Yeah, that's the thing too, because I didn't get the full details as I was reading through this. It seems like it was just a very general article. I would imagine because it is a talent agency that there are fees, maybe there are retainer fees, maybe there's like a 10%, cut from the fee from whatever the final is, there's something involved.
I mean, for the cosplayers to enroll.
There's possibly that
Is
too.
there a subscription service effectively to go, okay, well, I'll pay you X amount per month and you're going to sit there and market me out to all these different places?
That's possible too, which is pretty normal for a talent agency.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens with it. Right now, it's only in Japan. I'm kind of curious to see if it will come overseas here to the States.
Yeah, I noticed that in the article, it did say that it is opening up to foreign talent. They just haven't added anybody in yet. So I'm sure we'll start seeing a little bit of that trickle in.
Yeah, because it can get expensive, as we have found out with local conventions, to fly international cosplayers over here.
Lordy, yes. Whew. Way too expensive.
And we have nothing against flying them over here. It simply costs a lot of money. And likewise, it would cost a lot of money for us to fly our cosplayers overseas as well. It's
Works
just,
both
it's
ways.
expensive to fly.
Yay! Save up those miles, kids. Oh, man.
Well, I don't believe that I have anything else for the main body of our show.
Nope, that's it for the main show.
All right. Well, we will be close to this episode 165 of Cosplay, the podcast for all things cosplay. If you guys would like to contact us with any questions, comments, concerns, compliments, constructive criticisms, or recommendations, you guys are always welcome to contact us at any of our social media, which you can find here.
And Discord, Discord, Discord.
Yes, and please also join our Discord, which is becoming more and more active as we go on. We do have several members in our Discord, so it's not empty. And they will happily talk with you too. You can always email us, podcast@cospod.org. And we would also like to say thank you very much for downloading and sharing the show. We very much appreciate you guys sticking with us through these 6 years of broadcasting. We hope to bring you guys as much as we can in the coming years. So, of course, if you would like to thank us, since we don't show ads or do anything else of the sort, all we ask is that you do share our page and share our show, which, of course, you can find here.
I'll just keep pointing to all the stuff that's
It's
on the screen. At one point, it's just going to be
just going to
nothing
cover the
but text.
screen.
Yeah, it's going to happen eventually. It's fine. It's fine.
Otherwise, we will wish you guys happy cosplaying. We will see you guys in episode 166. Bye-bye, everybody.
Take care, everyone. Happy cosplaying.